The best YouTubers in the world, starting with Mr. Beast Down, spend more time and more money on their thumbnail than you could ever imagine. So number one, for everybody who's gonna do video, and again, that's a whole nother conversation because for some people it should be written word, some people should be doing audio, some people should be doing video. I think the thumbnail on video is incredibly important. I think the first 3 seconds, do we need the hook from the thumbnail to be delivered on in the first 2 or 3 or 4 seconds? We really believe we do. If my hook says 30 to 40 year olds, you should be thinking about LinkedIn. And if my opening line is like, before we get into that, in 2 seconds, you may lose that audience. One thing that continues to work for me is taking headlines that are happening in pop culture business and doing a green screen and talking over it. That model continues to work better than if I just looked in camera right now and talked about it.
Attention is the number one asset.
So the first thing I want to ask you is, what would you do today? You know, in today's world, you know,
yes,
inflation and everything,
yes,
that's going on in the world is really crazy right now.
Yes.
If you were to build a business today,
yes,
what would you do differently?
I don't know if I would do anything differently, and more importantly, back to bringing as much value to the audience as possible. I think the thing I think most about is, am I putting myself in a position to succeed, and will this work? And I think if you ask those questions, one of the biggest things that everyone who's listening needs to think about is, do I like this? Am I good at it? Like, why am I doing this? Am I doing, you know, real estate because my other friends say you can make money in real estate? Am I doing cannabis or crypto or something else because it seems like it's hot? Am I doing social media influencer because that seems easy? To me, the reason I don't think about things differently, there's a million things I can do differently on everything I do, V Friends, VaynerX, Wine Library, Gary V brand, the books. But I don't think about it from the small little things. I think about it from the big things. And I think most people get the big thing wrong. They don't put themselves in a position to succeed. They either are delusional and think they're better at something than they are,
yeah,
which I understand. Like, we all want to hope and dream, and it's okay to go for it. But I do think that too many people struggle with self-awareness. And I do think that building something meaningful, meaning living life on your own 2 feet and not working for someone, which means it's a constant pressure, mm-hmm, it's all on you, I do think it requires you enjoying it,
yes,
if you're gonna do it long-term. Because in the hard days, the fact that you wake up and still want to do it because you like it helps a lot. And when you're just doing it for the money, you're gonna give up more often than not. And so that's how I think about it.
Yeah, totally agree with you. How did you figure out, for example, your why, that, you know, besides the whole story of the Jets,
yeah.
the family, but how did you figure out what your why was so that it wasn't just for money?
It was so early for me.
Yeah.
That's why it's so hard for, you know, and you know this, I know we've been on this journey and you know a lot of my stuff. It's hard for me to talk about I don't talk about finding why a lot.
No, you don't. That's
I really don't. Yeah, I really don't. It's because I don't think I have a great point of view on it, because for me it was so natural. Mm. You know, it was so early. I mean, I genuinely don't remember a time where I didn't want to be a businessman, you know? And so for me, it came very early. But I do talk about tasting different things. I do talk a lot about taking advantage of your 20s and 30s. You know, I do talk about even in your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, understanding it's not quote unquote over, that there is opportunities. But I think one thing that I think you have, this is a strength of yours if I could watch it from afar. I think people say no too much and don't say maybe enough.
Yeah.
And I think, I've been becoming more and more passionate about the concept of maybe. You know, I'm in maybe all the time. Most things become no, but many things do become yes. And I do think that that's something that people need to think about.
Yes.
You know, like AI, no, that's gonna be bad, it's gonna take jobs, without ever spending 10 hours of research. The blockchain, no, especially now, oh, NFTs were bad, no. Do you actually understand, or TikTok, well, I missed it, it's too late. Well, actually it's not. The way TikTok's built is it's based on the individual post, and starting tomorrow is just as viable as starting 2 years ago. And so I think that people say no. And so I think for the people listening, trying to find their why, if it didn't come natural to you, there's people that wake up and at 6 years old, they want to be a stay-at-home mother or father. At 6 years old, they want to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. At 6 years old, they want to be a firefighter. At 6 years old, they want to be a doctor. At 6 years old, they want to be an entrepreneur. But for a lot of people, it's not that easy. It doesn't come that natural. And I do think that people need to keep pushing themselves. Take a pottery class. You know, like, go to a concert of a different style of music. People don't make themselves uncomfortable, or they're not curious enough, or they're not willing to, you know, try out of fear. And I think about that a lot.
Yeah, totally. Now, when it comes to social media, you just mentioned TikTok. For you today, what would be the top three platforms to be on? Because there are so many. And what would you do on each of them? If you were starting now, what would you do on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, or Facebook?
Yeah, so I think, again, back to the earlier point of self-awareness, if you're selling B2B, all of a sudden LinkedIn is number one, right? If you're selling, if you started a SaaS business, if you're listening right now and you want to sell, or you sell to lawyers, you have a service that sells to lawyers, then LinkedIn's gonna be number one globally for sure, with YouTube Shorts probably being number two because YouTube is a search engine.
Yes.
And a lot of people search there, so that would also be good if you were into SaaS. And then probably in that scenario, I would then say, if you're selling, you know, a B2B service, after those two, probably Facebook, grounded in a Facebook group, with then Twitter X being probably fourth. If you're selling SaaS, Instagram's probably a distant fifth.
Right.
Snapchat, Pinterest, they're super far away in that scenario. If you're selling t-shirts to 15 to 25 year olds, all of a sudden TikTok becomes number one, Instagram probably becomes number two in that scenario, and YouTube Shorts is number three.
Right.
So I think for a lot of people, that's that reality. For broader markets, I think that if you're really trying to sell something, like to the broad consumer, call it for everybody who's 25 to 55. Well, now you start getting into Facebook still being an incredibly powerful platform for selling.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that organic TikTok for branding is exciting. Instagram, again, becomes a stronger selling platform, but both of those scenarios require ads more than organic reach.
Yeah.
Whereas TikTok, you can win on organic reach and kind of capture lightning in a bottle. So I hope everybody appreciates the answer. It is contextual, but I think as far as the answer to what you would do inside of it, obviously there's a lot of science and math of what time do you post, how long is the copy. I think a couple things to look out for. Number one, the best YouTubers in the world, starting with Mr. Beast Down, spend more time and more money on their thumbnail than you could ever imagine. So number one, for everybody who's gonna do video, and again, that's a whole nother conversation, because for some people it should be written word, so some people should be doing audio, some people should be doing video. But I think the thumbnail on video is incredibly important. I think the first 3 seconds thing that Dustin and I were talking about on our trip this week is, do we need the hook from the thumbnail to be delivered on in the first 2 or 3 or 4 seconds? And we really believe we do. We believe that if my hook says, you know, 30 to 40 year olds, you should be thinking about LinkedIn. And if my opening line is like, before we get into that, you might, in 2 seconds, you may lose that audience. And so I think a lot of science around the art. I think a couple of other things. There's a lot of ways to do it. Let me encourage some people. One thing that I've been noticing is on Instagram, you could just take a photo of something, right? You were here with your friend this weekend in New York. You could take a photo of like a nice picture that caught your eye in New York, take a photo. But if you then wrote 3 paragraphs, really great ones, because you're a great writer, about the concept of enjoying the weekends to reset, of the concept of busyness and chaos in controlled chaos is an effective way to be an entrepreneur. You could write the, you know, curiosity. I've been to New York 7 times, but I've never gone down this street.
Right.
Like, you could take a photo of anything, a banana, a car, a tree, a bird, your backyard. you really could take a photo of almost anything and then write three or four paragraphs that are very thoughtful about a point you're trying to make. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden you don't need a video and editing team. You could do it all by yourself. And for a lot of people listening, they're not great on camera. They're not great with their words, but they're incredible writers. And so it's around self-awareness of the style, the content, and then there's strategy around the distribution depending on your business. And so that's one main theme. To keep getting very nerdy and deep on your question, the other thing to always look for is underpriced attention.
Yeah.
The thing that I know you know about me over these last 7-8 years is that I have a very strong skill set in understanding where there's more organic reach against consumption and when to do it hard than most people, and that's been a big part of my success. Mm-hmm. You were there when I was yelling about Musical.ly and TikTok, when that seemed crazy to almost everyone. You weren't there, but people that have been following me all the way back to 2005, 6, and 7, there was an incredible amount of content and passion I had around YouTube and Twitter and Facebook. I mean, I wrote Crush It in 2008. Yay. Came out in 2009, but I wrote it in 2008. That's 15 years ago.
Long time.
So I think that I constantly look for the underpriced attention. It's always most exciting when it comes up in a new platform, but new platforms only come around every 3, 4, 7, 9 years.
Yeah.
Then when it's not a platform, it goes into the things we just talked about, mm-hmm. the strategy within the platforms.
Yeah.
I talked about recently, and it's already lost momentum in a month, but a month ago, I was incredibly excited about posting a meme and then a video on Instagram, a two-post carousel.
I saw that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I see incredible opportunity in that. Again, almost talking to Dustin, I'm almost having my own meeting right now. One thing that continues to work for me is taking headlines that are happening in pop culture business and doing a green screen and talking over it. That model continues to work better than if I just looked in camera right now and talked
about
it.
And even when the green screen video is not great quality,
mm-hmm.
like it doesn't look good, but it works.
Correct, to your point. My last one, which did really well, I was in the car, and the light was hitting a different way, and it wasn't like my, yeah, I was like distorted. Bad. That's right. But I think that's, I think a great strength of mine that I would encourage people to consider is constantly trying new formats.
Mm.
You know, I'll use you as an example. We've talked in the past, whether on DM or Twitter or in a VFriends Discord or like this, about like, I'd like to get more traction. I want more views on my videos. And something that I don't think I've given good advice on in the past to you or the hundreds of thousands of people that have asked me is, look, if you have the same exact format, not you're talking about different things, but mm-hmm. it's camera to face
yeah.
and you post it as an Instagram reel and you're doing that 50, 100 times and you're not getting really the results you want after 100 times, you've got to change it. You've got to change your format. Maybe you bring on a guest. Maybe you go to green screen. Maybe you go to written word and picture. I think, you know, I always think about that concept of like, you know, the definition of insanity is like doing the same thing over and over and thinking you'll have a different outcome.
Yeah.
So I do think I want to give permission to a lot of people out there. Like if you've done 100, I think that's the right thing. If you've done 100 of the same format
mm-hmm.
per se, and you're really, really getting nowhere, and you're now 6 months in, you know, you should challenge yourself to try different formats.
Yeah.
Not talk about something different.
Just talk about the same thing in a different...
You know, like, look, I believe in 40 to 50 core things,
yeah.
and then I layer what's happening in the world at the time,
yeah.
and new and different formats and platforms. And I think there's something there.
Mm-hmm. No, that's good advice. I'm going to try that because I love doing reels, like I love doing the video, and some work, some don't. And then something that works on Instagram, then I put it on TikTok. It doesn't work over there.
Yeah, TikTok's a whole different animal.
It's hard.
It is hard. But I think, you know, I remind people like yourself, myself, I say this to myself all the time. If you're looking for something special to happen, it's supposed to be hard.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like I hear, you know, right? Like even, right? Like,
yeah, it's supposed to be hard.
Yeah, like I was in this, where was I? Oh, I was Friday night. I was in in an airport lounge in Dallas, and this gentleman, maybe like a 60-year-old guy, which is, you know, he's a real yappy guy. I was trying to get a little work done before my flight to LA, but he wanted to talk, and I'm about that life. He had no clue who I was or anything like that nature. We were just talking. And he got into something, and he was like, it really seemed to me that this was a gentleman, and I confirmed some of this through the conversation, you know, really, really came from rural America, really like came from nothing, and made a life of himself. And, you know, it was really nice, and his son was getting married in Tennessee in a couple weeks. Really enjoyed the conversation. But he kind of talked about, you know, how hard he worked, and then he was talking about what was hard for him now. And I kind of had this fun moment where I was like, hey, brother, like, you of all people know, like, you didn't get to this point by accident. You don't have to do the next thing, but it's not going to happen without hard work. And so I think, you know, yeah, I think people ask to be known, to get compensated for being themselves, to sell books, to speak, to sell things. It should be hard because 99% of the world works for someone else. Mm-hmm.
You've said it.
Yep.
So you answered the next question I had, so I'm going to move on to the next
Please.
One, which is, I wanted to ask you about VFriends, of course. Mm-hmm. I see you're doing so much, like, it's hard for me to keep up. Like,
yes.
I missed, like, the plushies, like,
yes.
I missed the He-Man thing, well,
yes.
the Masters of the Universe.
Yes. I call it He-Man, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Everyone does.
I mean, I grew up
It was always called
He-Man.
But, yeah, so everyone called it He-Man. Masters of the Universe,
but
very
yeah.
good.
So... I asked in the VFriends Discord
yes.
To my fellow specs, and,
yes.
and they asked me, hey, can you ask Gary, what does he have in store for the future, like after VCon 24? What's going to happen? Or what do you have planned for the NFTs?
Yes.
Especially Series 1 holders.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, the entire VFriends game launched, you know, game meaning operations and building out of VFriends is predicated on people falling in love with the characters.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing else.
Yep.
You know, like if back to He-Man,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. That Skeletor thing that we did wouldn't have been a big to-do if the world didn't love Skeletor.
Of course.
So, you know, I think I'm empathetic when spec holders or Series 1 holders or any holders ask what's going on with the NFT. I think what I'm doing is creating the NFT. Mm-hmm. The fact that I can speak to multiple people who in the last 2 weeks watched Fanatics Live,
mm-hmm.
where we open up trading cards
yeah.
for hours at a time of entertainment and education. They discover who Genuine Giraffe is.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that there are multiple people who have gone from not even knowing what VFriends or I was,
yeah.
discovering us in the Fanatics app in Discovery, watching me, Rips, and Conman, Connor, you know, hang out, get interested and excited by the community, get educated,
mm-hmm.
buy a pack for the next show, get the pack, start to get on Twitter and meet all of you, go and buy a Series 2 VFriend,
mm-hmm.
and then go and buy a Series 1 VFriend NFT, all in 2 weeks, and there's two or three examples already.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, have you tracked some of
these? Oh yeah, we track all of that. And so the Skeletor thing, getting into the Masters. So look, I think what's really fun about NFTs as a collectible is you can do things forever.
Mm-hmm.
You see what wallets have it, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
To your point, October has been a very big month. We're really trying to lean into the character development of the Halloween characters.
Yes.
We think Halloween is a very big platform for VFriends.
Mm-hmm.
But I think between the Skeletor, the plushies, the mini and vending machines, the coffee collaboration with Gregory's, the Fanatics Live trading cards, obviously the announcement of VCon 2024 in Los Angeles, you know, I think beyond 2024 is what 2023 has been about,
mm-hmm.
between Burn Island, background scenes. We're working during this recorrection down market of the NFT
yeah,
thing.
That's beyond your control, of course.
And we anticipated it. You know, as you know,
yeah.
I made 30, 40 different videos during and interviews during August 2020, the height,
yeah, yeah.
saying 95, 97, 99 of this is going to zero.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how that these kind of things go. You know, NFTs are like trading cards. They're like art. They're like sneakers. They're like watches.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be collectible.
Mm-hmm.
99% of watches are not collectible. 99% of sneakers are not collectible.
Mm-hmm.
99% of trading cards are not Michael Jordan's rookie card.
No.
99% of intellectual properties are not He-Man, Masters of the Universe, or Disney, or Pokemon. So, you know, for your friends in those communities, and for everybody broader, and for people who are listening that are not into VFriends but are following other projects, you know, I think the requirement of those projects, so I'll give you some alpha in a little more detail that people in the Discord have heard in the past. We are announcing the kids' book pretty soon here, mm-hmm. and it will be in kids' hands in 2024. You know, God forbid, my first kids' book, just so everybody knows, when I wrote Crush It, nobody knew who I was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that book went. And so if we're lucky enough to have this book go, and so we're working very heavily on that. We're working very heavily on getting the animation infrastructure. And then as far as how I think about specs, collectibles.
Yeah.
The way collectibles actually work is if you are fortunate enough to get people to care about the characters overall, mm-hmm. Spider-Man number one, its first appearance, or Spider-Man's Amazing Stories, you know, if Spider-Man's first appearance or Wolverine's first appearance is more valuable than his second. Or in trading cards, there are Kobe Bryant and LeBron James rookie cards that are more rare than the standard one.
Right.
And they are more sought after. You know, if I'm right, and if we're capable, as a digital collectible, the specs have a disproportionate world, and you could see that happening with what's happening with trading cards. If you go and look at trading cards right now
mm-hmm.
on eBay,
yes,
the to 25 epic of any character, if we were to go right now, is dramatically more valuable than the core.
Mm-hmm.
What has not happened yet is digital collectibles are so early that the people are still trying to figure out.
Of course.
And so it takes time, but you know, to answer your question very detailed and a little bit more long-winded, for example, right here, we're looking now, everybody who's listening, the Whimsical Wolf is $31 as a rare to 500.
Yeah.
If we were to find a yellow one, which is the base in here, right? If, and I don't know if we'll find one. Actually, here we go. Real quick, because I just want you to see.
Yes.
The regular wolf is $19.99, right? There's mm-hmm. There's a gap.
Yes.
Between the trading card people understand that. In VFriends NFT land,
yeah.
Series 1, not all the way just yet.
No.
But then there's also the part of, you know, what utilities and what things happen. And so I think...
Yeah, like what's... Like one
that,
side is the collectible, and then from your end, will you continue to like...
Of course. Of course, but
yeah.
But as you know and everybody knows, there's also clarity that we're looking for from legislation that we have to wait for. And so, you know, this is a no question a tricky time
yeah.
for operators and collectors.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget, I'm a major collector on the other
yeah.
side of
I mean,
world.
Look at that wall.
Yeah, and just of NFTs, Creature World, World of Women, Yuga stuff. So, you know, we're all kind of navigating it, but look, I think the best thing I can say is I hope that the last 6 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and I've definitely gotten a lot of people reaching out based on this, has shown people it's not like we're looking to make pretend this chapter never existed. You know, I think if you know what I mean? Like, I'm very committed to this. We're gonna do this, and we're gonna do it for the rest of our lives, and I'm enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not fun to have, like, tension and, like, concern, and I see everything.
I know you see.
You know this.
Know
I see everything. I'm working.
Yes.
You know, He-Man took 19 months. It really mattered.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people in Masters of the Universe Reddit communities and Discords that are like, wait a minute, VFriends is cool. Skilled Skeleton is
mm-hmm.
selling more as an NFT because... So, like, we're working on it.
Okay.
I know you got a lot more and we're going to
yes.
run out of time, so go ahead.
Yes, of course. So I wanted to ask you now about your next book.
Yes.
In our last interview a year ago, you told me the title of the book.
And now it changed.
Yeah, exactly. What can you share?
Yeah. So what I told you at the time was it was going to be Jab, 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 Left Hook.
Correct.
Because I knew that I was going to write a very similar book to that 10 years ago, which is what I am writing with Day Trading Attention. The difference is when I started writing the book
mm-hmm.
versus when I had it figured out a year ago when we spoke, I realized this is a much more complex book than Jab,
right.
Jab, Jab, Right Hook. Jab, 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 Right Hook was very simple to understand. Give, 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 then ask in your content.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some examples of content.
Mm-hmm.
Day Trading Attention is very detailed to what you and I talked about 20 minutes ago.
Okay.
It is probably my most academic book.
Okay.
you know, there's even a part of me that worries that it could be a hair boring. I'm not kidding. I'm being dead serious. It's so detailed in the magic of what I do and what VaynerMedia does. But I'm proud of that. I think we will jab, 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 right hook, besides Crush It, is the book I get most talked to about how it changed someone's life. Mm. Especially now in marketing, so many of the people that are in companies that we work with, when the meeting's over on Zoom, they're like, hey Gary, can I just say something? I'm only in marketing because I read Jab, 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 Right Hook in high school or college, and it's very flattering. Day trading attention has a chance to be a manifesto of the next 5 years of what to do on social media as a reference point. People go back to it. Of course, things will change, yeah. and I speak to that in the book a lot, but it's a very beefy book, and I'm really proud of it.
When is it coming out?
I'd like to have it come out next summer.
Next summer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're just wrapping up, and it's ironic, we just touched on both. The kids' book and... Yeah. Day trading attention have the potential to come out close to each other. And obviously I want to give them a little bit of breathing room from a promotional standpoint. So we're just working on that.
Awesome. Excited about both.
Thank you.
Now, AI, I know yes. you've been talking about it as yes. well. I want to know how you're using it, which tools you're using it, how you recommend it,
you know,
for entrepreneurs.
We're using AI in some re-speecher and some audio, translating my voice into other languages.
Spanish
and Farsi and German and French. Like, I think every one of your favorite creators will be speaking every language, perfectly synced lips, no subtitles, in native tongue within the next 24 to 36 months at scale. So that's gonna be enormous. Mid-journey for creative thinking, you know, just typing in different visuals as I visualize things, especially for internal presentations and decks. ChatGPT for thinking or answering questions, like just, I like using it for trends. You know, for example, I'll ask like, hey, ChatGPT, why are people wearing corduroy hats right now in culture? Like those kind of things. So, you know, those three really stand out. You know, I've unfortunately have been so busy with VFriends this summer, prepping this fall and winter, and now I'm even busier VFriends for 2024, that I'll be transparent. I feel a little anxiety, not really, but I am disappointed that I haven't been able to go deeper in more tools, because there's just so many hours in the day. Yeah. But, you know, it's very clear what this AI journey is gonna be. It's an incredible infrastructure to our society, and it will change a lot of things.
Yes. Are you worried about, because you've said it too, and I'm worried myself, the deepfake aspect of it? What are your thoughts on that?
It's why I'm don't worry, Dustin. I know, we're in New York City, everybody. There's always sounds like this in the background. We have no idea what it is. I am worried about it. Yeah. And I think it's because people are headline readers. Mm-hmm. So I'm worried because people believe everything. I'm gonna say something pretty wild. There's a part of me that is curious about what it looks like when people believe nothing. Mm-hmm. So right now we believe everything and we're headline readers. And I think it's causing damage. What happens in 10 years when we don't believe in anything? We don't believe what you said or what I said on video because we're not sure if somebody else made it. And here's the full circle. We have to go to the blockchain to see if you and I post it. I believe every piece of content I post in the future at some point will be posted first on the blockchain to prove provenance, and then we'll go on the internet. And so if you see me say something that really upsets you, you're like, this is not the Gary I know. You're gonna be able to go and look and be like, oh, thank God. He didn't say that, somebody made him say that in deepfake video. Wow. I think that, because remember, blockchains are not owned by Iran or America or Russia or China. This is the power of the blockchain. And so the blockchain has an incredible seat at the table for society in the next 100 years. And as we become more digital, and it is the only true source of truth that can't be manipulated, you start thinking about a very interesting thing. You know, one of the great things, back to collectibles, Empathy Elephant, Series 1 spec diamond, will never have a counterfeit. Mm. there's unlimited counterfeit art, sneakers, watches, and trading cards.
Or in New York alone, oh my God, on the streets.
You know what I mean? But real counterfeit, forget about the streets where it's just obvious. Yeah. There have been people who've really spent $500,000, $300,000 for a fake Pokemon and yes. Michael Jordan rookie card. So I think, you know, I think we're so early on this, but I'm very excited about what the blockchain does. But yeah, deepfake is gonna be challenging. Like, it's gonna be tough in a year when, or two, when people with audiences like myself will have to be on a daily or weekly basis going on their social media saying, that is not a video I made, that is not true, I did not say that word, or I did not, you know, discriminate against those people, or I did not make that claim about business. And it happened already. During NFT summer, people were using my images all over social media, claiming that I was bought this, you know, you were close to it. They would airdrop me the token.
I've seen that, yeah.
And then they would be like, Gary Vee buys 10 of them. So, I mean, you know, people are always doing stuff, unfortunately. Remember this, everyone, if you're worried. It's always cops and robbers. It's always cat and mouse. Something gets invented. The bad guys try to do something. The good guys try to capture them. The good guys try to do something. The bad guys try to get around it. It's just one big circle. So deepfake will be used for bad, but we've created as humans the blockchain that can be used for good.
Absolutely.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah,
so I'm worried, but optimistic.
That's one of your main qualities.
I think so. I think I'm a practical optimist. Yeah. I'm not delusional.
No.
I'm not in outer space. I'm an operator. I'm a thinker. But I do believe in us more than most people.
Yeah.
I really do.
And I wanted to ask about your time management because I think it's incredible. How does Gary decide, and we talked about this earlier, saying no and maybe and all of this. What gets a yes from Gary also, you know, because I'm here, right? Did I get this yes? What is your criteria for that?
A lot of it's intuition. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it's the complete opposite, like requirement. Mm-hmm. I think I run on requirement and intuition. You know, I have a lot of responsibilities. Mm-hmm. So we're now, because I was a little bit late this morning, we're a couple of minutes over. There's a call going on right now with Beat Friends and a collaborator that's very important.
Yes.
I'm 3 minutes late, but I felt that because I was a little bit late this morning and you came all the way out here, that I didn't want to cut our time short. These are decisions that are happening every second, especially for someone as busy as I am. I have 3 full-time admins. Mm-hmm. I have 2 chief of staffs. Mm-hmm. I think what I do well is I don't let meetings run long. I talk about that a lot.
I know.
1 hour meetings could be 30, 30 minute meetings could be 15. I think I put my money where my mouth is. Most people don't hire 3 admins. And so they get the results of 2 admins or 1 admin. The biggest mistake I think a lot of people make, and don't forget, I did my own admin work for 10 years.
Of course.
Excuse me, 1998. I did my own admin for 13 years. So I understand what it's like when people hear me, they're like, I can't afford it. I'm like, I know. I did that for 13 years. But there was a point where I realized, wait a minute, it's not good for me to be doing this. This is a lot of time I'm putting into this. I'm getting busier. And so I think a lot of entrepreneurs or founders don't get admins fast enough. And then they don't trust admins.
That's a big one.
You know, and so I think they'd rather buy nice clothes or take a trip or buy a nicer car or a better laptop. And they're not investing in themselves, and their time is very important. It's their biggest value. I can make more money, but I can't make more time. Mm-hmm. And I think about that a lot.
Yeah. Well, Gary, thank you so much. It's been, I had like a million more questions.
Oh, by the way, to answer your question, why you? Because I like you.
Oh, thank
because
you.
We have a real relationship. You know, we've seen each other a lot. We've interacted a lot. That's the beauty of the internet. Mm-hmm. We've seen each other a lot in the scheme of things, but none of the probably the second time on, we wouldn't have seen each other if we didn't continue the conversation on Twitter.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I think social media creates the gateway to real relationships.
I agree.
And I like that. And I like people. And I like you. And that's why we're here.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you back.